Well, what we've talked about here the last couple of weeks, and we're going to continue on tonight, and that is God's plan for you, what He's called you to do. Too many people in the body of Christ don't have a clue. Now, if you're a baby Christian, I can kind of understand that. But for people who have been born again for years, 5, 10, 20 years, filled with the Spirit even, and they still don't know what God has called them to do, now there's something wrong somewhere. They either are rebelling against the call that God has placed on their life, or they don't know how to find out. And that's not a criticism, because that's one of those kinds of things that sometimes it's hard. It shouldn't be, and it ought not to be. But sometimes it's difficult when it comes to finding out what God's called you to do. Now, we'll start off here. Turn over to Colossians chapter 4. A couple of passages that we'll just look at to start with. Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Look at that again. Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. And then over in 2 Timothy, turn over there. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. Now again, we realize that those statements were made to specific individuals, but it would be very foolish on our part to assume that those statements fulfill your call, fulfill your ministry, and make full proof of your ministry are totally irrelevant to us today. If God made those kinds of statements to those individuals, then therefore we should very easily assume that He would pass the same word on to us. Make full proof of your ministry. Fulfill the ministry, the calling that God has placed upon your life. Every one of us is called to a ministry. All of us. Some people think that the word ministry means a full-time position standing behind a pulpit, and that is not what it means. But every one of us is called to a ministry. We looked over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 and 28. And we saw in there how that we are the body of Christ, we're members in particular. And then God in verse 28 gives a list of ministry areas that incorporate the entirety of the body of Christ. So our ministry is going to fall underneath one of those headings and one of those categories. And everything that we do in the body of Christ that we refer to as a ministry, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then it's not a ministry. God has not, and I used this example once before, there is no such thing as the ministry of an auto mechanic. It just doesn't exist. Some people use things like that and they say, well, God has called me to that ministry. No, God hasn't called you to that ministry. Now, that might be your occupation, but that's not your ministry. You might be able to incorporate the ministry God's called you to in your occupation, but your occupation is not necessarily your ministry. However, when your occupation and your ministry are the same, hallelujah! It is wonderful. But it's not that way for everyone. And that doesn't mean that a person who has what we would call secular employment is going to be any less fulfilled. It doesn't mean that at all. Because God, look, somebody does have to work on the cars. Somebody has to work on the computers. Somebody has to do all of these different things. And so, yes, God will have people where He has designed them to be involved in secular occupations. However, that secular occupation, in some way, shape, or form, is going to be compatible with the ministry to which He has called them. Now, in Amos chapter 7, we took a look at this last week. You don't have to turn to it right now because we won't go through it like we did last week. But in Amos chapter 7, verses 10 through 15, we looked at Amos as an example of somebody that was used by God. And we saw 3 points in this story of Amos. And those 3 points are consecutive, meaning number 2 follows number 1. It was just 3 different points that God brought out. One of those is, It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you haven't done. What matters is the condition of your relationship with God right now. That is what is important. And so all of the things that you did before you knew Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, irrelevant. Because the blood of Jesus has washed those things away, and the only person that wants to hinder your walk with God because of those things is the devil. And if he can motivate and stimulate your memories of all of that past in such a way that it will keep you from going forward with God, he'll do it. If he can use other people to come to you and remind you of all of the things that you did before and use that in some way to try to hinder your ministry, he'll do it. Now, Satan knows that your past has been washed away. He understands that. He wants you to think that it hasn't been. But your past is irrelevant. Even the things that you have done since you were born again, if you've gone to God and made it right with him, do you understand? Those things won't be held against you. God is going to use you no matter what your past has been. No matter what has happened in your past, it won't change the calling that God has on your life. Because we know that the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. God, you can't change God's mind. You can't go to him and say, but I don't want to be a pastor. He'll say, I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. This is my plan for you. Now, why don't you get in line with my plan? Then you're going to find out what it's like to have peace of mind. See? And not only, that was one of the things that we learned there in Amos. Another thing that we learned is that God can use you in more than one area. God may use you as a pastor and a teacher. God might use you as an apostle and an evangelist. God might use you in one area and then later on in life move you into a different ministry area. Now there are people out there who teach that this isn't possible, but yet when you just look at the body of Christ and you see how people have been used in different ways by God, you can clearly see how that it is possible for God's plan for you to include more than one area of ministry and that you can fulfill those areas with total success in accordance with what he's laid out for you. And then the other thing that we learned, what we saw there in Amos, dealt with that issue of tending the flock. We saw that Amos was out tending the flock before God ever called him to go off and be a prophet. And in fact, the impression that you get from reading that book of Amos is that he really didn't want to go and be a prophet. It wasn't the kind of thing that he wanted to do, but yet he knew what God had called him to do, and so he went out and he did what called him to do. And when he got criticized for it, he said, wait a second, you don't understand. I didn't do this because I wanted to. I was happy tending the flock. But God said, no, you take my word and you give it to my people, and so that's why I'm here. Well, likewise, before we can begin to be moved by God into what some people think of as big time or recognized ministry or whatever that means to you, you've got to start right where you are. You have to prove yourself faithful in the few, faithful in the small things, because God's not going to entrust you with the big things before you're faithful in the small things. It is very, very rare that God will take someone, let's just use a pastor for example. It's very rare that God will take a pastor and elevate that pastor from never pastoring, never ministering, never preaching, but yet that person is called to be a pastor. Take that person with zilcho experience and put them over a church of 5,000 people. Now, it's just not going to happen, and if it does, it's not God. God is going to, if that person will allow, God will take that person from where they are and they prove themselves faithful where they are at that time. He begins to move through them at that level. He begins to use them as they submit themselves to him at that level. Now, they may end up someday finding themselves pastoring a church of 5,000, but it won't go from doing nothing to a church of 5,000 overnight. It just doesn't happen that way. God will promote you. Well, see, as you prove yourself faithful in the few, faithful in the things that don't get you the pat on the back, faithful in the things that don't get your name in the bulletin, faithful in the things that don't get your name in lights on a marquee or whatever else, you just do it because you know you're doing it as unto the Lord. You're serving Jesus. Those things that you do, you just say, Jesus, I'm doing this because I love you. And if nobody finds out that I'm the one that did this, it doesn't matter to me because I know it's recorded in heaven. I know you're the one who knows this. I know it's written in the books and the annals of heaven. I know that it's up there. And I know that whatever reward comes of this, it'll come to me. I'll get it in heaven. I'm not concerned about all the earthly accolades. What I'm concerned about, Jesus, is showing you that I love you. And I'm going to do this thing here, no matter how menial it seems, I'm going to do it, Jesus, just because I love you. And I am so thankful that I am born again. I'm so thankful my sins are washed away by your blood. So come on, Jesus, let you and me talk while I do this thing. See what I'm saying? Now, you begin developing that kind of a relationship with him, it gets him all excited. He cannot wait till the time comes that you're ready to be moved up to the next level, because he knows he'll be able to trust you at that level. He knows he'll be able to render unto you everything that you're due, everything that is going to fulfill your calling. He knows that you're going to be faithful to it. Now, what about those times, though, where you're still not too clear about your calling? Or maybe you are clear about your calling, but it seems like the doors haven't opened. You don't yet have clarity of thought about what exactly is it that I'm supposed to do. I think I know, but yet I'm not really sure. Or I know what I'm called to do. I understand my ministry area, but it just seems like the doors aren't opening. More specifically, what we want to deal with are those who just aren't totally sure, because those are the people that seem to encompass the majority of the body of Christ. So many folks, even here tonight, if we were to go one by one through this congregation, so many of you would probably respond and say, I'm not really sure what exactly it is that I'm supposed to be doing for God. Well, it shouldn't be that way. So while you are doing those small things, what else is it possible? What else can I do that can help me to begin to understand what God's called me, what He's laid aside for me, what His will, what His plan is? What is it that I can do? Well, turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to deal with one specific area tonight. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 16. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now again, this good works that he's talking about, it's not just the typical concept of good works. This also includes his will for your life. God is telling us here that the Word of God is profitable for you to be furnished unto everything that He's called you to do. His will for your life. The Word of God is profitable for your thorough furnishing. First, into the area of spiritual maturity. Second, in the area of fulfilling His will for your life. Now, when we look at this, taking it from somewhat of a practical standpoint of, I'm not sure what God has called me to do. I see this verse, I see this passage that Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for my maturity. Okay, I can understand that. But then this part about being profitable so that I can be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, that's wonderful, except I still don't know what my plan is, what God set aside for me, what His will, what that ministry is that I'm supposed to be involved with. Well, part of being thoroughly furnished is thoroughly knowing what God's called you to do. Can you say amen? Part of being thoroughly furnished is having a thorough understanding of God's will for your life. All right, now let's take a look here in this. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 3. It says, for I say, now Paul is talking here, he says, I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And then he goes on and gives this list that we won't read, but we're going to focus on the first part of that, where it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us. Now, grace, as we've learned earlier, grace is that which supplies unto us the calling, the plan, the will of God for our lives. We went to God to receive salvation. We wanted to be born again. We were confronted with the issue of the fact that we were lost on our way to hell, and we didn't like that idea. So we decided we were going to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The Bible tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith. Alright, so that means that grace, if you will, is the carrier of salvation. Grace is the carrier, the transporter of the born-again experience. And so God, sitting in heaven, has released grace. Grace that He has released is carrying the born-again experience or salvation, and down here we are. Now that grace has reached the realm of earth, and that grace has been extended to every single human being. Well, what we do then is we respond by faith. We extend our faith to touch the grace that God has already extended to us. And the moment that our faith makes contact with His grace is the moment that the blood pours forth out of the grace, washes away the sin. Out of the grace then is released that born again man, that new spirit, the nature of God that causes us to be born again. And we then have become born again. We have been a partaker of the salvation that God has extended to us. Well, here he says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now, what that means is this, as we draw this picture. God has extended His grace, and that grace extended to us contains not only the born-again experience, not only the plan of salvation, but it also contains His perfect will for us. So now that grace has been extended to me. The moment that I, through my faith, put into operation the grace of God, I become born again. But unbeknownst to me, that grace that I became a recipient of not only contained the born again experience, but it also contained God's perfect will for me. Now the grace of God that you touched, and we understand that God's grace is God's grace. But what He does, He reaches over here, if you will, and He says, all right, now I've got Nell. Now let's see here. What do I want Nell to be? I got it. I want Nell to be an evangelist. So he goes over to the evangelist bucket, and he takes his big godly scoop, he dips into it, and he goes over here and kerplop. There's the evangelist call on the grace that he shoots out to Nell. It's got the plan of salvation and everything else. But contained with that is the calling of evangelist. Then he looks out across the eons of time and he says, hey, well, looky back there. There's a Steve. Wonder what Steve ought to be. Let's see here. I know. Steve will be a prophet. Now, where did I put the prophet bucket? And he goes over and he scoops out prophet. And he plops it on grace and says, there you go, Steve. Grab a hold of that one. And that... Folks, you understand it's not exactly like that, all right? We're trying to create an image here. But when that grace is released, it contains everything that God has for us. And everything that God has for me is not the same thing that God has for you. Likewise, what God has for you is not the same thing that God has for me. But the grace extended down to me contains everything that God has in store. His will, His plan, His mind, everything about what He wants me to accomplish in this life is contained in that grace. And so every one of us, because we've been partakers of that grace, recipients of that grace, we first became born again. That was the first work of grace in our lives, was for us to become born again. And we didn't know it, but right along with it, it was a total package. His will and everything was contained. It was sneaky on His part to do that. But, you know, if He didn't do it like that, some of us might not want that call that He wants to use on us, okay? And so he puts it all in one big package and he shoots it off our direction. When we respond to the gospel message, we become recipients of that grace through faith, and in the totality of what we received, it's not just being born again, but it's also his perfect will and his perfect plan. So we've received gifts that are differing according to the grace that he has extended to us. It doesn't mean you've got more grace than what I've received. It just means that contained in that grace is God's perfect will and his perfect call for us. Now, if you'll notice here, he says in verse 3 that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Well, if you take that verse along with the fact that grace has been the thing that's released unto us, God's will and God's call, and you understand that for you to be a recipient of God's grace or a partaker of God's grace or to activate God's grace, it took your faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. So the grace is there, but it only becomes active in your life when you touch it with your faith. All right? So faith is the very thing that causes the grace of God to become operational in your life. Faith is the very thing that causes you to operate the gift that God has extended to you through His grace. And so without exercising faith, it's going to be impossible for us to operate in the gift that God has given to us. Now to take this a little bit further. As faith is developed, it will be conformed to the image of the call. For example, let's say that the evangelist calling is square. All right? Now, you've received the measure of faith from God. However, God has predetermined that your faith, when developed, is going to fill that evangelist call. It will become in that same shape. If you try to take your faith and make it not fit inside the evangelist call, but if you try to make it fit inside the pastor's call, it won't work. Because your faith, it will fit into it to a certain degree, but yet you'll never be able to fulfill the evangelist call because you're trying to utilize and develop faith for the pastor's call. And it just won't fill every nook and cranny of the pastor's call. God has designed your call to be an evangelist or whatever it would be. And the faith that you have received, that measure of faith as he puts it, that measure of faith is to conform to the image of the call that God has given to you. And so as you begin to develop your faith, that faith is going to grow, it's going to develop, and it's going to become operational power, if you will, of the calling that God has placed upon your life. Now, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, what did Paul just write to Timothy over there that we read? Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for what? For your maturing or your perfection, so that you would be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So if faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and faith is that which causes my calling to be operational, and faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, then I understand that as my faith begins to grow, it begins to produce in me the furnishing necessary so that not only am I mature in the Lord, but also I'm thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Not just understanding what I'm called to do, but thoroughly furnished to the fulfilling of that entire calling that God has placed upon my life. All right, now look at this. Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that, look at this, good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See? Now, understanding this, my spirit is new. My spirit is born again. The old was removed. In its place has been given to me a new born again spirit, a new born again nature. That born again nature, because it was given to me through the grace of God, contains within it the ministry calling that God has on my life. My spirit is new, but it's my mind that needs to be transformed. God didn't remove my mind and give me a new one, so to speak. He left me with all of those memories, all of that old way of thinking. I mean, the way that I grew up, the way that I, the things that I've learned. I mean, all of that stays in there, okay? But what I have to do is transform my mind, transform my thought process from the way that I used to think to the way now that God wants me to think. Because you see, when I was lost, I didn't think in line with God's will for my life. I didn't think in line of the gifts and calling of God. When I was lost, all I thought of was what I wanted to do in accordance with what my nature, my sin nature was sending signals about. But now I'm born again. I have a new nature on the inside. And not only do I have a new nature on the inside, but I also have within me the will, the calling, the plan of God. It came with the grace. I have to transform my mind, my way of thinking, so that I can understand what God has called me to do. Well, since the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance, since that calling, that ministry has been placed within me through the grace of God that I received as I activated it with my faith, and since faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and since the Word of God producing that faith enables me to become thoroughly furnished unto all good works and spiritually mature, then the more that I get into the Word of God, what's going to happen is this. This book is a revelation of God's thoughts and His thought process. The way God thinks is revealed right here in this thing that we call the Holy Bible. So as I begin to take this Word and I begin to feed it to myself, I begin to put it into me, it begins to change the way that I'm thinking, because what I'm doing is I'm taking the Word of God, I'm placing it on the inside of me, and it begins to transform my mind to line up with my born-again spirit. As the Word of God begins to transform my mind, faith is coming. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And that faith is to be conformed to the image of the calling and the ministry that God has placed upon my life. And so as I'm taking the Word in and I'm taking the Word in, the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. But it doesn't mean we automatically think like the mind of Christ. However, the mind of Christ is revealed here in this book. And so as I take this book and I take the Word of God and I feed it in and I feed it in and I feed it in, a door in my mental faculties begins to be opened up. And as that door begins to be opened up, it's opening up to the mind of Christ. And then the thoughts and the thought process, the concepts, the whole way of thinking contained in the mind of Christ begins to pass from the mind of Christ into my very mind, because the Word of God, being sharper than a two-edged sword, is cutting away the old thought process, cutting away the things that I used to think about, and replacing all of that thought process, replacing that thinking, that way of thinking, replacing the thoughts with the thoughts that radiate out of the mind of Christ. Contained in the mind of Christ is the knowledge of God's call and ministry for my life. And so the more that I transform my mind through the Word of God toward thinking the way that God thinks, He begins to reveal unto me in greater measure His call, His will, His plan for my life, so that no longer does it remain a mystery unto me. I begin to understand what He's called me to do. Every person who goes through this process begins to gain the understanding of what their calling is. The Word of God coming in begins giving revelation and understanding of the ministry that each person is supposed to be a part of, each ministry area that a person is supposed to be involved with, where they're supposed to begin to step out. And as that begins to take place, it also begins to create the faith necessary to operate in that gift and in that calling. And so as faith is coming, it's not just faith that's coming by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It is the thoughts and the thinking and the way of thinking of the mind of Christ that get released into my mind, and it is the revelation of the gift and the calling that God has for my life. And so therefore, As I begin to operate in this and I begin to move forward in this with His Word, He says, you're going to be able, as you renew your mind, renew your thought process, replace the old way of thinking with the thoughts and the thought process that radiate out of the mind of Christ, you're going to be able to prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And it's going to work differently in every person because it's all based upon the gift that God has extended unto you, the ministry that God has released unto you through His grace. And when you tapped into that with your faith, that calling was placed deep within your heart. It will never change. It's what God has preordained for you before the foundations of the world. But as you begin to get into the Word of God and your mind, your thinking begins to change, you begin to think like God, you begin to respond like God, and in the process, you're able to discern what is His good, acceptable, and perfect will for you. And then the things that used to be so foreign, if somebody had come along to you and said something like, if someone had prophesied over you at one point in your life and said, God has showed me that someday you're going to be preaching and teaching His Word. And you'd have thought, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. I flunked speech class in school because I can't stand up in front of people. But as you begin to get into the Word, you know what? A boldness begins to rise up within you. Because the Word of God is conforming you through the release of faith, conforming you to the will that God has established for you. And then there'll come a day to where standing up in front of people, it's not going to terrify you at all. In fact, it becomes your testimony. You'll be able to stand up and say, you know, folks, at one time, I'd have never been able to do this. There was a time in my life where I would probably have passed out if I had stood up here in front of all of you. But I want you to know that the power of God's Word can change you to the place to where every fear will be cast down. The will of God will be fulfilled in your life, and you too are going to be able to stand up and declare, I'm doing what God has called me to do because I'm changed. That's how this works in you. It's the power of His Word. It's not just a matter of memorizing Scripture so that you can fight the devil with it. It's a matter of you conforming to the image of your call and the ministry that God has called you to do. There are some of you that you may know what God has called you to do, but it doesn't seem like the doors are opening. It doesn't seem like anything is happening. God wants you to get into His Word. Because the more that you get into His Word, not only will it continue to confirm to you the ministry that God has called you to, but at the same time, it is going to begin releasing the faith in you to do the very thing that God has called you to do. Let me tell you something. God is never, now listen to this, God is never going to take someone and look at them and say, well, you know, you've been saved, you've been Spirit-filled for 15 years, it's time you did something, so get out there and preach. And you don't have a lick of faith to do it with. He won't do that. He just sits back and He waits for you. And when you have built yourself up in that area of faith to the point that He's going to be able to use you, that's when He takes you and begins using you. You may be at the point right now that you know what He's called you to do, but you've got to get in the Word to qualify yourself with the faith necessary to fulfill that call. If you don't, He won't take you further than where you are right now. Because this Word is the power to produce the faith in you. You say, well, what about prayer? Well, we'll talk about prayer at another time, but we're focusing on the Word right now. I know what Jude says. But what I'm saying is, if no faith comes because you're not hearing and hearing the Word of God, how can you build yourself up on your most holy faith praying in tongues when there's no holy faith that's come because you've ignored the Word? There's only a certain level that God can take you if you only pray in tongues. You've got to have the Word of God with it. The more that you meditate on the Word, the more Word that you take in, it's like you're putting a bigger and bigger sword in the hand of the Holy Spirit to get in there and cut away the junk. It's like you're giving Him more material to work with to build you up on that most holy faith so that you can get out there and walk on the waters of your ministry and fulfill everything that God has called you to do. If you ignore the Word, then you can forget about having any kind of godly success in ministry. You may be able to produce a degree of success in your life by your own efforts. It'll be short-lived. The doors of churches will be open to you. The only doors of churches that will be open unto you would be the doors of churches that they don't have a clue. And they can't discern anointing from anything else. Because they really don't know. To them, anointing is an emotional display that comes about when somebody plays one of those good old redback hymnal songs. For those of you who know what the redback hymnal is. Sure, anybody can do a good job and get your emotions stirred up, but that's not anointing. Sure, anybody can do something in a way that'll get you to start crying. That's not anointing. It could be. It could be your reaction to the anointing, but that's not what it is, see? The Word of God will produce the faith that conforms to the image of God's ministry calling upon your life. And then no matter what that ministry calling is, the faith necessary to fulfill it is going to be in you because you have renewed and transformed your mind to the point that you not only understand what you're called to do, but you know that you can step out. And you know no matter what the circumstances say, you know it's going to work. You know it's going to be okay. Even if everybody in the church tells you you're going to fail, when your foundation is the Word of God, you can't fail. Let me tell you something right now, folks. Faith never fails. We may fail faith, but faith never fails. If it were possible for faith to fail, then when God said, walk by faith, not by sight, what He would be saying is this, walk by something. Live your life according to something that at some point in time could lead to your total destruction because it will fail you. Faith never fails. And you can say that I'm walking by faith, I'm living by faith, I'm doing all these things by faith, but everything I do fails. You know what you just told me? You're not doing it by faith because faith never fails. The Word of God does not return void. The Word of God always, always produces. And this Word will produce in you the faith that conforms to the image of the ministry that God's called you to do, and it will perfect you, mature you, and thoroughly furnish you unto all good works so that you will have godly success in everything that God has called you to do. Hallelujah. Everybody stand.